You're listening to the Hudson Valley Region Podcast, an official podcast of the New York City Church of Christ, teaching and worshiping God in the beautiful New York State counties of Orange and Rockland.
Guys, it's great to be here. Greetings from the Capital District Church of Christ. And this is my lovely wife, Evelyn, over there. Yes, you can clap for her. She deserves it. But it's great to be here. Love coming down. I think it's been about a year since we were here last. But love, there's so many connections we have here with the Rockland Ministry, with the Garrisons. I know what Phil said, we go back several years from the New York time to the North Carolina time, back to the New York time. But we are very grateful for their friendship and just been an awesome, awesome friend. And we have the Grays and the Molinos, and so thankful for them. We've known Kimberly since she was a teenager, and it's awesome to see their growing family. Think about Ryan and Lauren, and just how we knew you as freshmen at Rutgers and Princeton, and now you have your family that's growing, and it's so exciting to see that, and so happy for you guys. I know I saw C-Mac here a little bit ago, but great brother. We had a great conversation one time at a key time in my life, and I was so thankful for that. It's amazing how one conversation is, sometimes it's propels you and keeps you going. It's great to see Tommy and Natan and Natchin, and so many great connections. But we came down and just wanted to thank you. Evelyn and I, we would not be able to be in the full-time ministry in Albany if it wasn't for your sacrifice. And we wanted to come and we wanted to thank you. That we're so grateful. We know that you have to sacrifice. You know, there's things that you say, you know what, I'm not going to get that. I'm going to put that aside for something greater. But we want you to know that we really, we pray hard and we try to work hard to be worthy of your sacrifice and your support. But we wanted to just say thank you and are very grateful for that. But what's happening in Albany? Well, we've been there now almost I guess about 3.5 years. It's been exciting. It's been challenging. When we moved to Albany, we read about a study that was done about the least biblically minded cities in the United States, cities of over 100,000 people. And so when we moved there 3.5 years ago, Albany and that area ranked number 2 in the country as far as least biblically minded cities. But now 3.5 years later, they did a follow-up study, and now we're number 1. So that's not an area where you want to be number 1, right? But that's why God has us there. We are a mission team. And so pray for us. We look at Albany as the hill country. That's our hill country. And we're glad that God has put us there. And by God's help and his power, that will change. So continue to pray for us. But it's been exciting. A few years ago, we started off at SUNY Albany with one disciple in the campus ministry, and her name was Cece, and Cece was she is from South Korea, and she came and she was studying like biochemistry, but she's very shy. She came to the States when she was 15. She was trying to really escape an abusive home life. And so she came here, went to high school, stayed here, went to college. She became a disciple at SUNY. She was already there when we got there, but this quiet, timid girl says, you know what, I need to share my faith. And that's exactly what she did. And when we were getting our Bible talk going, she decided, she was stopping people right before Bible talk, and she stopped 2 football players on the SUNY Albany football team. And, she, in her quiet way, invited them to a Bible discussion, and the one football player, a Bible study, Bible study, no thank you. But he was with another football player, says, well, I'm staying, and you should stay too. And so he's like, okay, I'll stay too. And so they ended up both staying. Now, the one that was laughing, he didn't become a Christian, but the one that says, I'm going to stay, he became a Christian. And I got a picture of him here. That's Ryan. And Ryan became a disciple. He's going to be a senior now next year. But Ryan has been a great brother in the campus ministry, and that was kind of what kind of got the ball rolling. And one of the women that's been converted up there, her name is Tatum. And again, Now, Cece invited a girl from the basketball team to come out, and this girl, I don't know if she sent out a tweet or something like that, but Tatum found out about it, and she came. She loved it. She became a disciple. She was the co-captain of the SUNY Albany volleyball team. She just graduated, and now will be going, it looks like, to a graduate school in the city, so she'll be part of the Manhattan campus ministry. So, again, the New York contributions, they're coming back. You know, we're trying to send some reinforcements to help, too. But Tatum, she's been such an awesome disciple. Her father passed away. Her father was killed in an accident when she was 2. And so she grew up without a dad. And so that's just one of the things I love about the kingdom, that you take someone that has this big void in her life, and she gets that filled in a big way in God's kingdom. But she's an awesome disciple. She's doing so well. And what another thing I wanted to add was that Tatum, that night she came, she also brought her boyfriend, and this is her boyfriend, Mike. We studied with Mike, and actually Tatum and Mike were baptized on the same night. And Mike, he was also a football player at SUNY Albany. And he recently graduated, and he is now part of the Long Island singles ministry. And this is Carrie. Carrie, she played soccer originally at Syracuse, transferred to SUNY Albany. And while she's playing soccer at SUNY during a game, she broke her leg as she was scoring a goal. She actually scored the goal, but as the goalkeeper came out, they had a really horrific collision, and she broke her leg in 4 places where the break was so bad, she almost lost her leg. But through all that, God worked, and she studied the Bible. She became a disciple, and now she is interning in the ministry with the Westchester Group. And so she's there serving this summer. This is Mariana. Mariana came out to Women's Day a couple years ago, and she studied the Bible. She loved it. She's actually going to be attending optometry school in the city. So again, we're going to try to send some more people to strengthen. We want to strengthen the bigger churches. You know, that's really what we want to do. So we're going to keep trying to send you people. But Mariana should be in optometry school in the city. So Manhattan gets another person from our... Not that I have any issue with that or attitudes with that. I'm grateful. A victory for the church is all of our victory. But Mariana, she also, her mom became really concerned. You know, sometimes how, you know, what's my daughter's making all these changes? What's going on? I'm going to come and investigate and find out what's going on. So her mom, she did that, and she studied the Bible and got baptized as well. And so you see a lot of Evelyn's hair there, but that's Mariana's mom getting baptized on a chilly night in Albany. A few teens have also become Christians. One of our prayers is that every one of our teens, every one of our kids becomes a disciple in Albany. And this is Sari. She became a disciple a couple of years ago. She's doing well. She's actually, she goes to Northeastern University, but she is now interning in Albany this summer. And she's doing great. And one of the other kids is Cameron. I know some of you might know Cam, but Cam became a disciple in the teen ministry in Albany, and now he just completed his freshman year at SUNY Albany. And this is Sidel. Sidel became a Christian at the beginning of this year, correct? Yes. And that's Sidel, and now she is also in the city. Amen. One of the nights, it was a late night baptism, and I forgot to empty the baptistry in our backyard, and so it was pretty cool, but we had kind of back-to-back baptisms, but we had to break the ice off the top of the baptistry, and so that was an inch. We had a good, that's about an inch of ice there, and so you can see the ice off to the edge there, but we cleared it off for the sister. You know, we wanted to make sure that there was no ice in the baptistry. We took care of that, so we do try to make those baptisms memorable and something that you'll never forget. And one of the things I also wanted to share, the brother on, this is McKinley on the far left. McKinley, he shared that with the church, but he's, he has a mild form of autism. And he's in our campus ministry at RPI, and he's an engineering student. And so he's had his struggles, but he's got a conviction that I'm going to share my faith, and I'm going to love people. And that's exactly what he's done. And by himself at RPI, he's gone out, and he's, from one now, he has, it's him and 2 others now in his Bible talk, that he's been fruitful twice this semester. And this was Dave that he met at RPI, and Dave was baptized. And we'll show you another picture of a sister here soon. But that was Dave getting baptized. And this is Kemi. Kemi's a student at SUNY Albany as well. And she got baptized, was it fall? Late fall semester. And she's doing well. There was a campus girl from Boston. She was baptized in Boston, but when she came home to visit, she brought her parents. And this is Robin Yvonne. Robin Yvonne became disciples a little over a year ago. And this is one of our recent teen baptisms, but this is John getting baptized by his mom and dad. And so it's been exciting, but every one of the teens so far that's gone through the last couple years, each one has become a disciple. And so his mom and dad are certainly excited here, but they're getting ready to baptize John. And this is Charisse, and Charisse was the other girl from RPI that McKinley, that their Bible talk, just recently baptized a few weeks ago. And this was Memorial Day, where Jaden, he began coming out to church with his mom about probably 4 years ago. They've been coming. His mom's been visiting for about 4 years, but her son figured it out. And so Jaden, he basically, he's 15, but he lives basically with the campus guys, and they have really pulled him in, and he just said, these guys, he's, I want to be like these guys. You know, these guys like Mike and Ryan, some of these guys, like, they've been so inspiring, but they've taken him in. His mom drops off clothes, and she's like, whatever you're doing, just keep doing it. You guys raise him. but he's changed so much, but he's inspired now his mom to study the Bible. And so, but this is an amazing kid. His name's Jaden, who just got baptized on Memorial Day. And so, give you one more picture here real quick. But this is our little group here in the Capital District. And that handsome man right there, he's that guy, right? No. But guys, we ask, you know, we appreciate your contribution, but we really ask, pray for us. Pray for us. Pray that God will help us to be very faithful, that we'll work hard, but that God will lead us to the men and women that are crying out for a relationship with him. But let's pray, and let's get into the word. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. God, you're always at work. Father, there's nothing that you can't do. There's nothing too hard for you. Father, we pray that you would open up our eyes, God, to see all the ways that you're working and want to work. We pray, increase our faith. Father, increase our love, God. I know that I'm so challenged by the way that Jesus loved people, the way he saw people as harassed and helpless, as sheep without a shepherd. Father, we pray, God, increase our love. Help us to hurt for the people, God, that are around us, God, everywhere. Father, help us to see through the lies of money and greed and wealth, God, that's the stuff that's not going to last. Help us to see through those things and, God, to really have an eternal perspective. But pray for the contribution that was taken up today. I pray that you would bless it in an incredible way. Thank you for the ministry here, for the brothers and sisters here, their sacrifice, God, and their faith. God, so grateful for them. God, please bless our time. Pray that your Holy Spirit will work in a way that only he can. In Jesus' name, amen. Please turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And we're going to talk a little bit about contribution. Don't you love talking about contribution? You know, it's easy for me. I'm going to leave today. You know, so, but I'm going to preach about contribution a little bit today. In 2 Corinthians 8, verse 1, it says, "And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves, first of all, to the Lord, and then, by the will of God, also to us. So we urge Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love that we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. I am not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Now the church in Corinth, they had begun to take up a collection for the distressed disciples in Jerusalem, but they never completed it. So Paul addresses this, and he uses the Macedonian churches as an example to the Corinthian disciples. Okay, so from this passage that we just read, what are some things that we know about the Macedonian churches? What do we know?
They were very poor.
They were poor, okay? Now, they weren't just poor. They were dirt poor, okay? It was a whole nother. It says Paul writes that they were extremely poor. Okay, what else? Yeah, they had a great heart for others. Is life easy for the Macedonian Christians? Man, think about that. I think about for us today, what does extreme poverty look like? You know, if we thought about what's a modern equivalent? But imagine having to go to a brother or sister's home that was like this. Think about that. If you went to visit that church, like what might you expect that church to be like? You know, imagine walking around the fellowship. What would the mood be like? Okay. Now imagine you're the visiting brother and said, bro, would you come up and do the contribution message for us today? Man, what would you share? If this was the Christians, you were going to have house church and say, brother, could you give us a contribution message? What would you share with them? You know, say, well, you know, I know times are tough. You know, hang in there. Do what you can. But was that, you know, think about how did the Macedonians, how did they handle their trial? Were they happy? Yeah, I don't even think happy really covers it, right? It's not even accurate. It says that Paul writes that they were overflowing with joy. That is the description of these Christians that are undergoing an extreme trial. They're extremely poor. I mean, they're going through it. But they were overflowing with joy. How do you feel about contribution? Okay? How did they feel about contribution? How did they give? It says, Paul writes that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. They were richly generous. But, I mean, who forced them to do this? You know, who browbeat these disciples? And, you know, was it Paul? Did Paul do that? Was it Paul? I mean, did they bring in a guest speaker? What was it, you know? But it was their own conviction, entirely on their own. In fact, it says they pleaded with Paul. I just try to visualize that. You know, imagine, I don't know how many of you have come up to Phil, bro, I cannot wait to give missions contribution, bro. I can't wait. Have we done that? Do we have that same kind of heart? But they pleaded with Paul to give special. They wanted to help out their brothers and sisters. Was it a burden to them to do that, even with what they were going through? Man, it was a privilege to them. It was a privilege to help another part of the body of Christ. But imagine that, pleading to give special contribution. But how does that happen? Now think about this equation. Severe trial plus extreme poverty equals overflowing joy and rich generosity. Do they teach that at Princeton? You know, is that equation? Where do you learn that stuff? You know, but I think the answer lies in verse 9. If we can look in verse 9. It says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Man, what did the Macedonians have on straight? You know, what convictions did they have about Jesus? Jesus, he was rich. Jesus, he was the Son of God. Jesus was at the right hand of the Father in heaven, in bliss, had all authority over heaven and earth. And then what does he do? What does he do? Okay, let's read what Paul writes to the church in Philippi. Coincidentally, one of those Macedonian churches. It says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. You know, what does Paul write here? What does he teach the Philippian Christians? What did Jesus do? He says he made himself. Jesus made himself nothing. Jesus humbles himself. He becomes like you and me. He becomes and takes on flesh and bone. He leaves heaven. He comes and he lives among us in a fallen world to face what? Every temptation, every kind of struggle. The agent of creation comes to be rejected by his own creation. The very people that he came to save rejected him. He will be spit on. He will be mocked. He will be ridiculed. He will be flogged. He will be crucified. And he will be crushed by his own Father's hand. And he will die a shameful death on a cross. Jesus makes himself poor. Who does that? I mean, does the world teach us to think like that? Make yourself poor. I mean, do we see ads in the media about the joys of poverty? Does the world teach us that? Are there workshops on how to think poor? Have you attended one of those workshops? But guys, how do we think as Christians, as disciples? How do we think? Does our thinking, does it align itself more with the world or with Jesus? Do we think about making ourselves poor? Okay, in what area should we apply this thinking? Okay, I think we can say, well, every area, which is true, but let's go back to verse 5. What advice does Paul give? How can we apply this kind of spiritual poverty thinking? Now, verse 5 says, in your relationships with one another, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. So where can we practice our spiritual poverty? In our relationships with each other. Guys, how should we think about our relationships with one another? Like Jesus, right? And what example did Jesus give us? He made himself nothing. He humbled himself. He made himself a servant. He was willing to give up his life. How can we practice this? I got a few verses here. You can just look at the screen or jot them down and go back and look at them. So we probably know these already. But how can we practice spiritual poverty with one another? Okay, Hebrews 3:12. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We know that passage, right? We've probably read it 100 times. Guys, but do we practice this? Are we waiting? Well, who's going to encourage me? Who's going to call me? I'm waiting. Are you encouraging? Who are you encouraging? How often should we do it? Daily. But is that our conviction? But how can we practice spiritual poverty? We can encourage each other. We can consider others better than ourselves. But we need to protect and fight for one another. Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Okay, how can we practice spiritual poverty? We prioritize meeting together. Guys, in Albany, we feel it. We feel it. If just one disciple says, you know what, I'm not coming to midweek. We feel it. We know how everyone's doing because we're small. But everyone is so vital to the body. We know it because someone We don't get your encouragement. We don't get your love if you're missing. But we really have to have that conviction. Man, when the church meets, I'm going to be there. I'm going to do anything I can because I'm going to come and I'm going to practice spiritual poverty. I'm going to be like Jesus and I'm going to love his body. I'm going to love his people. Why? Because he's loved me and he made himself poor for me to make me rich. And I'm going to love his people. Galatians 6:2. It says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. How can we practice spiritual poverty? We can help carry our brothers and sisters' burdens. Do you know your brothers and sisters' burdens? Jesus carried our burdens to the cross. Now he calls us to carry our brothers and sisters. Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. It says, he is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. How can we practice spiritual poverty? We help each other mature. Who are you helping to mature? Well, I haven't been around that long. Okay, well, you get like a month. But after that, who are you helping? You have a Bible. You can pray. But we need to have that conviction. Man, I'm going to help my brother and sister mature. And are you letting someone help you mature? Are you letting someone help you? Are you seeking someone out? We all need that. We all need these relationships. We need discipling. Call it mentoring, disciple, whatever you want to call it. But you need someone in your life that knows their Bible and that can use it on you. I need that. I need men in my life that say, Jim, man, you are blowing it. You are messing up. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Do you have friends or enemies? Sometimes we mistake who really is our friend. But are we maturing one another? But that's how we practice spiritual poverty. Colossians 3:13, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Again, how can we practice spiritual poverty? We forgive. Well, bro, you don't understand the depths of the hurt that was. No, well, I might, but not, but Jesus does. And he can forgive. And how much has he forgiven you? Forgive as the Lord forgave you, but how do we practice spiritual poverty? We forgive. We don't keep a record of wrongs. We let it go. Why? Because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. Ephesians 4, verse 2, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. How can we practice spiritual poverty? We stay humble with each other. We stay gentle with each other. We stay patient with each other. And we fight like crazy to stay unified. Romans 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Okay. Guys, who should we offer ourselves as living sacrifices to? Let's put it in context. Let's keep reading. Let's read verses 4 and 5. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Guys, can we operate independently of one another? We can. Albany belongs to Rockland. We belong to you, and you belong to us. Because in all those scriptures that we looked at, how can we sum them up? I think this passage sums it up for us. John 13, 34 and 35. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. But guys, when are we going to live this way? When are we going to live this way? You know, and I think it's when we have a conviction that we've been made rich. You know, why did Jesus choose to become poor? To make us rich. To make us rich and to help others to become rich. But question, I want you to answer this to yourself. Do you feel rich? Do you feel rich? In spiritual currency. Okay? It's spiritual currency. But you kind of get the idea. But in your heart of hearts, is that how you feel? Do you feel rich as a disciple? You know, and I think about, you know, if the world understood, like, what happened to us when we were baptized, you know, what that inheritance that we're given, the depths of our riches that Jesus gives us when we become Christians, when we leave the dark and get into the light, when our sins are forgiven and we're given the Holy Spirit, we're added to His church. They would come and they would interview us. Man, what was it like when you were under the water? Man, like, they would want to interview us because it's the most amazing thing. The world's got nothing on us. But do you feel this way? Do you feel like, look at my towel, man, it's wet. It's from forgiven. But do you feel rich as a Christian? Do you feel rich? Are you enjoying being a Christian? Are you enjoying it? I really think that we should be having the time of our lives. But you might be, well, wait. My life is hard. You know what? Maybe it is. Maybe your life is filled with struggle and trials. But what would the Macedonian Christians tell you? What would they tell you? Can you enjoy being a disciple even when life is hard? It's all dependent on your perspective. It depends if you see things through eyes of faith. If you see that Jesus, even though he was rich, became poor for your sake to make you rich. Do you really have a conviction about that? But if you really believe that Jesus has made you rich and that no one can take that treasure away, then you can endure anything. You know, can I give homework? Is that okay? Okay. I'd like to give you a challenge for your next time with the Lord, but to write down every way that God has made you rich. It's become a great prayer list for me, just kind of a thank you to start off some of my prayers. But I'll tell you the number one thing that I'm thankful for, the number one way that God has made me rich is that I'm forgiven. Guys, I'll tell you, I've been forgiven of a lot of impurity that's enslaved me for many years. I've been forgiven. I'm forgiven of the hatred that at times I've felt for others. I'm forgiven of drunkenness. I'm forgiven of greed and of selfishness. Another thing that I'm so thankful for is that death, the fear of death, no longer haunts me. That sting of death has been removed. That penalty of sin, it's been taken away. God has lifted me out of that slimy pit and has put my feet on solid ground. Guys, I've become a holy temple. God lives inside of me through the Holy Spirit. Think about that. As Christians, God lives inside of us. Guys, I've been adopted. I'm no longer a foreigner or alien to God. I'm a child of God, and He lavishes His love on me every single day. He has placed me in His church. He has given you to me, and He's prepared a room for me. Guys, and that's, we haven't even scratched the surface. Guys, I'm rich. I am rich. But guys, as disciples, you've been given all the same gifts that I've been given. You're rich. How has that happened? Go back to verse 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, so that you through His poverty might become rich. You know, reality, it's really hard. I think it's really hard to keep that perspective. And we need to do regular heart checks. I mean, I think everywhere we turn, right? Everywhere we turn, there's an advertisement. There's billboards, magazines, radio, TV, internet, telling us we need to buy this or we need to buy that to be happy. And oftentimes, or in fact, we're told that we deserve it. We deserve that car. We deserve that Lexus. You know, and honestly, I drive by and that new car dealership, I would look good in that car. I would. You know, and I'm like, that'd be nice. And I start to think about the leather and all those different things. And, you know, You know, but then I usually snap out of it and it's not realistic. But, you know, but ask yourself, what are you pursuing? Where does your treasure lie? What are we living for? But if we don't feel rich, you know, spiritually, we need to ask ourselves why. What is it? Why don't I feel that way? Okay, let's get ready to close here. Let's go over to Matthew 6. As we're going to start to wrap it up here. But I think that's an important question to ask yourself if you're not happy as a Christian. We really do need to ask, you know, have a heart check, because if you're giving your heart to something, and you got to figure out what it is. In Matthew 6, verse 19, it says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin or rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So I'm going to date myself a little bit. Now, I graduated from high school in 1991. And during my senior year in high school, I was voted best dressed of my class. Now, to clarify, that's probably not saying much when you grow up in a rural farm town in rural Minnesota. Okay, it's who has the best overalls, you know? It's like, it's probably not. But, you know, I spent a lot of my hard-earned begging grocery money on clothes because I wanted to dress to impress. Now, that was 1991. What do you think happened to all that money that I spent and all those clothes that I thought, man, this makes me look good. I look sharp. You know, what happened to those clothes? They became moth food, okay? Now, no one wants my hammer pants anymore. You know, they might make a comeback. Oh, Tommy, what do you think? No, Tommy's my style consultant. But, you know, but what happens to all that stuff, guys, that, man, we spend so much money on, you know, just like we invest. What does it come to? Okay? Now, a few years later, when I graduated from college, my parents were very generous, and they bought me a new car. They bought me a 1995 Ford Explorer Eddie Bauer Edition. It had the leather seats. It had the moonroof. It had the chrome rims. Now, it was at that time, too, where the last year where I still had a tape player. I didn't have the CD player yet. That's still the tape. But, you know, but in 1995, I was living large. And I had that strict no food policy. You don't get a drink in here. You don't get to eat in here. You know, that was my rule. Now, I just traded off that 1995 Ford Explorer last year. I had that car. It turned out I ended up having that car for 20 years. I didn't think I would have it for 20 years. I had it for 20 years. I had to tow it to the dealership to trade it off. And I asked the guy that towed it, I'm like, you got to jumpstart it. But I was like, don't turn it off because I want to make sure that they know it runs. You know, it's like, please, you know. But I had to have that thing towed. But what happened in 20 years? That 1995 Ford Explorer that I thought was so sweet, fast forward 20, I couldn't wait to get rid of it. What did it turn to? It turned to this. That's not an Explorer, obviously, but it turned to rust. Guys, that's what our stuff is going to come to. Rust and dust and moth food. Guys, what good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self? What good is it? You know this guy? I don't know if he's one of the richest men, if not the richest man in the world. Guys, what's going to matter to him in 50 years? Did he have a relationship with God? Okay, does anyone in here have an iPad or an iPhone? Okay, then you've been influenced by this man, right? This guy's influenced you. If you have an Apple product, he's influenced your life. What matters to him now? Do you think he's concerned about the Apple stock? Only did he have a relationship with God. Guys, my prayer for us is that we realize we're rich if you're a disciple you're rich. We've got to realize that we've been, you know, given so much. And my prayer for us is that all of us, that we will imitate those Macedonian disciples. My prayer too is that you'll understand that this lesson, it's not all about contribution. It's only one way in which we can sacrifice and serve the saints. Guys, look to give your time. You know, look to give your talent. Look to give your home. I encourage you, seek God's kingdom first. There is no greater priority than building God's church. No greater priority. In a world full of great causes and noble causes, there is none greater. There's no greater privilege than sacrificing for the body of Christ. There's no greater investment. I would encourage you this summer, don't lose your focus. Let's remember the one that made us rich and how he did it. I'm going to read here, but I'd like you to think about this. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all of our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Never forget that this man made himself poor so you could be rich. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Hudson Valley Region Podcast. For more information about our ministry or to attend a church service, please visit our website at hvregion.com.